Thank you, Jonathan. Are you leaving me? I hope you can see me over the top. It's adjusted for Jonathan's level. Well, thank you. It's lovely to be here with you. And first of all, let me say thank you very much for the way in which you've welcomed this doddery old couple into your midst. So thank you very much for that. Jonathan invited us to talk to you for 10 minutes each. Eileen said she didn't mind if I took her 10 minutes. Or she actually said something like, you know, you're usually talk enough for both of us. So I've got 20 minutes now. And until I came here, of course, I'd seen a few of the 007 films, but I've never actually met the Bond girls. As I understand it, amongst the Bond girls, somewhere one of them keeps a close check on the clock and notes that nobody goes over time. So I'm told she's not here today. This is a stage one meeting hall. This is one of the best as far as preachers are concerned. It has but one clock, and that's at the back, and you can't see it. So I have a huge advantage, so I praise you for building it in that way.
The calendar as well.
Has it indeed? Thank you, John. I'll come to you in a minute. One of the things I have been instructed most carefully not to tell you is how old we are. But as we go along, I shall drop a few clues, and you may be able to work it out from that. But I must say at the outset that we are very appreciative of the way you have all welcomed us. We've got to know some of you by name, about three, because we're not very good with remembering names, but your thoughts and your welcome and your prayers in our particular situation has been an encouragement to us. The first clue I would give you is that my grandfather, John Nixon, was born in 1854, and he worked on the railways, which probably explains my lifelong interest in railways. When I say he worked on the railways, I don't mean he worked for the railways, I mean he worked building the railways, and as a youngster he used to tell us about those things. So there's the first clue. He was born 160 years ago this year. Now then, if you can work out my age, you can work out Eileen's, because we were born in the same year, although we were born 373 miles apart. Maybe the odd yard either way. But moving on, I suppose the most important year in both of our lives was 1955. And in 1955, we were both born again. But again, 373 miles apart. Eileen was attending a small gospel hall on an estate in Portsmouth, and the preacher, an elderly man, much like myself, was preaching, and he mentioned the way of salvation and made it very clear. And at the end, Eileen went and spoke to a lady who had been a sort of spiritual mother to her. And she said, I would like to become a Christian. So Eileen was directed back to the preacher and said, go and tell the preacher. And he took her aside into a room and explained things a bit more clearly. And there Eileen gave her heart to the Lord. In a gospel hall on an estate in Carlisle, I was attending a Sunday evening service. Now, my mother and father were Christians and churchgoers, and led a, a Christian life that was a witness to everybody around them. And I was one of three, the youngest. And they brought us up as they felt appropriate, that we should live in a particular way. And I know that I didn't. And I know that the things that I did, although they may not have seemed particularly bad or evil, I knew that there were things that would have upset my parents if they knew about them. However, my older sister, who's been here on the last two Sundays, she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Saviour. And that was a bit of a concern, but at least my brother was still on my side. But one Sunday he went off down, one weekend he went off to stay with an aunt down in the Cockermouth in the Lakes Street. And while he was down there, wandering along the street, he'd met what they used to call a wayside pulpit on a Methodist church, and he read a text, and it moved him, and the Spirit of God worked in him. And he went back and talked with his aunt about that, and he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came back that weekend full of it, and everybody else was thrilled about it except me. And in those days they used to remind us that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back again. And that when he came back again, you know, he was coming for those who had put their trust in him. And it's dangerous to walk in and out, you see. But nice to see you. When we came here, one of the first things... I digress from time to time. One of the things that happened when we came here was that we were welcomed into the Rainbow Club, being of a certain age. And I noticed you've got the rainbow band. I had this feeling I was beyond the pale. Because I did things which weren't right, but I knew it wasn't right. You know, there were other people perhaps who did things wrong, but you know, they hadn't been brought up any differently, and I thought it was too bad. But this preacher that we had, he had a text, and it was John 6:37. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Sorry for the old English, but when I was young, you know, they only had the King James version. In fact, it had probably just been translated. I don't know the modern English yet. But the gist of the message was, you know, nobody's too bad to be saved. And I went home, and I went up into my bedroom, and I knelt by my bed, and I literally wept for a long time. And I admitted to God my sin, and I thanked the Lord Jesus for dying in my place. And I said I believed he was dying for me, and I asked him to come into my heart and to be my saviour. So in 1955, both of us began our Christian lives, our eternal life, because the Bible says we're granted that when we give our hearts to him. Now then, moving forward, the next highlight, I suppose, was 1963. Now in 1963, both of us, 373 miles apart, were baptised. Now, I'm stamping a bit here, but I've got a feeling that underneath here is a hollow. I'm just telling by the shape of the carpet, I've got the feeling that there's a hole under here and that sometimes they fill it with water. Now, I've been here on a few Sundays. I don't know how many now, 20 or so, scattered over two or three years, first when we were house hunting and then since we've moved here. And I haven't seen it open. So that's a little bit disappointing. Because I'm sure it would be great fun if it was open. But Eileen was baptised in Portsmouth. I happened to be there purely because I was studying down there. But we didn't have any particular close friendship at that time. And I remember... when she was baptised by a gentleman who spoke on that occasion who was a German prisoner of war who hadn't gone back home again afterwards because he didn't feel able to go back to what then became East Germany. A lovely man. She was given a text. It was Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Which I understand is a special text to Roy as well, because he's mentioned it to us. And I was baptised in Carlisle. Now, I don't know if you've all given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is a must. If you haven't done it already, it's about time you did. It's absolutely crucial, because it's the only way that you're going to get into heaven, because God decides how we get into heaven, because it's his home. And the Lord Jesus died for us, and he's paid the penalty for us, and he would love us to accept that, confess our sin, and ask him into our heart as our saviour. But maybe you've done that. I would also recommend to you, if you haven't, that if you've given your heart to him, then you ought to be baptised. Now, it's not for me to go into the what it all means. It just gets a bit complicated. But this I would say, that it is an absolutely tremendous opportunity to be able to witness to your friends, your neighbours, your family, your workmates, that something has happened in your life. It doesn't matter. Nothing actually happens when you're baptised, but you're identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and is now risen again. And if you haven't done that, I would suggest it's something that you ought to do as an act of obedience and an act of witness. Last Sunday, back in the church that we were associated with, was our base for the last 20 plus years, a lady was baptised. She's a lady in her late 60s who's had over 40 operations, has terrible rheumatoid arthritis, tremendous amount of pain, can't straighten her arms and so on and so forth. But 2 years ago, she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And last Sunday morning, with the help, no doubt, of several people, was baptised as a witness. So I better end the commercial, better move on. 10 minutes has gone. The next year of importance to us, I suppose, was 1966. Now, in 1966, we both got married. Although, on this occasion, in the same place, at the same time, and to each other. So that was good. Now, it's not for everybody. I know that. Paul said he was firmly of the belief that as a single person, he was better able to serve. I can only speak from my experience, and I trust Eileen's as well, that our service for him has been greatly enhanced as a result of the support that we have for each other. Many things we've sought to do together, some things we've done separately, but always in the knowledge that if one is away doing something, then the other one is at home praying. It's something to be recommended. So what has happened in the years since then? God is good. we're useless at everything. That's why I'm sort of shaking inside here, you know, standing in front of you, as you can, well, probably can't see because this thing's in front of me. God has given us things to do. And we've always found that when God gives us things to do, in keeping with his promise, he's given us the power, the ability to do them. And so over the years we've been involved in things with all sorts of ages, in all sorts of places, with children at Sunday schools, weeknight clubs, parent and toddlers, all the usual sorts of things, with young people in our home, away at young people study weekends, with older folk at church holidays, at senior groups, at men's breakfasts, in care homes, school assemblies of all ages, all sorts of things of that nature. We've had the opportunity to for the dedication of children, for baptismal services, for weddings, for funerals. I haven't done any bar mitzvahs, but most of the other things, and that's been thrilling. I suppose it would be fair to say that we've had a very pathetic ministry, very much like Janet is a very pathetic teacher. My words get here, there, and everywhere, as they say. We've had opportunities for service all over the UK, down into Cornwall, up to the Northern Isles, in South Wales, across to East Anglia. But wherever we've gone, the Lord has protected us. I remember someone saying to us when we'd made a long journey, if the Lord has given you a message for us, and the Lord has prepared our hearts to receive us, he isn't going to let you fail in the journey. He's going to get you here. And that's something behind it all the time. As I said to you earlier, God has promised that when he gives us a job to do, he gives us the strength to do it. Paul had a serious problem, which we can make very intelligent guesses as to what it was. And he thought it affected his ministry. And he asked God to take it away. And God wouldn't. And Paul realized that because God hadn't taken it away, God had made him more dependent on himself, on God. And therefore his ministry was greater. Moses had a ministry and he had so much to say. But he said, I don't know what to say. And God said, when you have the opportunity, be it over the garden fence, being knocking on somebody's door, being out in the open air preaching, or all of which things from time to time, occasionally it's been our opportunity to do, God says, when you do that, I will give you the words, don't worry. And Paul said after that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I discovered that was a phrase that can trip off the tongue very easily. But we did a young people's conference over the weekend, and we took that as a text. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the object of the weekend was to try and convert I can do all things to I will do all things. And that's when you actually believe the scripture and act upon it. 18 minutes. Eileen isn't a miracle worker, but she knows a man who is. And she really believes that. And she's a great personal prayer, I know that. And I would warn you, if you get on her list, watch out. Because she prays believing that God answers. Now, it sounds as if this is the past. Now, but it isn't. If you've been doing your sums and been working, you've now come to the conclusion, you haven't narrowed it down, but you worked out we're somewhere between 84 and 92. But where exactly that is, you will have to find out for yourself. But in effect, we're only 59, because it's 59 years since we were born again. Did we start our Christian lives? And our how long does eternal life last? Well, it lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. And 59 years, well, it's peanuts, and we might as well just be teething. We've hardly started. But when I had a pensionable job, and we both worked on and off, not often at the same time, but we both worked, although we both retired from paid work 20 years ago soon, this year. One of the things that I read in the pension scheme was this, that there were enhanced benefits if you died in service, for people who died on the job. And that sort of appeals to us. If you die in service, it's what every Christian should do, isn't it? And to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So I've told you a bit about our past, so you learned a lot more about us than we're ever likely to learn about you, but that's nice. And we thank you again for the opportunity. We were also invited, 19 and a half minutes, to choose a hymn. And Eileen said, "Well, you're doing the talking, I'll choose the hymn." Without any hesitation at all, she chose "All to Jesus I Surrender." We're going to sing it in a moment. Can I go now?
No.
Oh.
Eileen, you haven't done my reputation any good, sticking to your time, though.
Okay.
Right. It's been lovely to hear David, on behalf of David and Eileen, share their testimony to God's goodness in their life. It's very clear that God's been right at the heart of their life, right at the heart of their ministry, and certainly remains there. And they've had the intention that that's exactly where he is going to remain until he returns or calls them home. So it's been a real encouragement, and I think also a challenge as well to our response to what God has done in our lives. And instead of "I can, I will do all things," because if the Lord lays something upon our hearts, he will most definitely enable us to do that. So it is a joy to be able to welcome Eileen and David into membership, and shake hands with them, and just on your behalf, welcome them into the membership of JEC. So, Eileen, on behalf of the membership of Jennyfield Evangelical Church, it's my privilege and joy to welcome you into the membership here.
Thank you.
David, on behalf of the membership of JEC, it's my joy and privilege to welcome you into the membership here.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious gospel that we have. We thank you for that miracle of grace that you worked, Lord, 59 years ago in David and Eileen's life. We thank you that since then, yes, Lord, they have had their ups and downs. Lord, there will have been times when maybe they've had their doubts and their struggles. But Lord, they have always known your grace. They have always known your love. They have always known your enabling. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for their faithfulness in so many different ways, over the years in so many different places. Thank you that you have used their humble testimony and ministry. And Lord, we just pray that you will, Lord, enable them to be a blessing and an encouragement to us. Pray that you will use them here, yes, in the building up of brothers and sisters in the Lord, but also we pray in the saving of souls. And Lord, we just pray now that you will bless them and that you will encourage them. We thank you for them. We thank you that you have brought them to us. And we just pray, Lord, that, Lord, we will be the family that they need at this time in their lives and in their ministry. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, we're now going to sing the song that David and Eileen picked. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give.